Curious Minds asks the questions that might seem crazy, but when you look at the data, some things might not seem so crazy after all. For example, have aliens ever lived on Earth? Do you really want to know the answer? Crazy Curious Minds is not afraid to investigate the issues important to the survival of mankind, like extinction, aliens, world events, and the paranormal. Hosts Tony Tiora and Chad McKinney talk from locations on the opposite sides of the planet in search of the truth. Is the truth hiding in plain sight? Let's find out.
Welcome to Crazy Curious Minds. We are now on episode number 6, and I have a funny feeling. By the way, I am your host, Tony Tiora, out at Sapporo, and I have a funny feeling that my co-host out of San Diego really likes this topic because it's called something with his middle name in it, Free Money for All, right? Right? That's what this topic is. He's already smiling. I can see that nice, beautiful tan smile with those white teeth saying, yeah, free money for all. And if anybody knows about getting free money, which there is no such thing, by the way, it's Mr. Chad McKinney out of San Diego. So Chad, you know why? I would like to laugh, but I'm hurting because, like I tell you, you know the tax money, you know, that I've spent and all the money I've invested in like your crazy businesses, and I don't know how you raise money. And I don't know how you do all this crazy shit with like no money, but you find a way to do it, and you find a way to get money for all kinds of stuff. I mean, you've been going to school for like 20 years, paying students, you've been 20 years of student loans or something. What do you think of Free Money for All? What's this concept of this show? This show, I don't think we're going to like delete like the last one, you know, the geoengineering one. Hopefully you delete it. But this one, you know, I think it's going to be fun. So tell me, what is Free Money for All? What is money and what is Free Money for All? And what's up with money?
Man, first off, can I borrow $5?
You owe me like $30,000, Chad. So on the case you forgot. But in any case,
I'm good for it, Tony. I think free money. Also, I think we have to look at what does money even mean first, you know, before we get into like what free money is and all that kind of stuff. So I think first, what is money? And money, based in its most basic primitive form, is a means of exchange. Right. Whether, you know, like it, you know, you do whatever and you say we're exchange any type of exchange, beans for asparagus or labor for a currency or whatever. So I know you said there's a, and now basically kind of a good touch on that and continue on that thought process. Really, like, this means of exchange is only valid if people have faith in that means of exchange. And so in psychology, this is referred to as a token economy. Right. Basically, perform behavior A and you will receive a reward. And that reward would oftentimes be some type of a token. So for example, and I speak about this in the book a bit, but like, say you're in a halfway home and you want to get something out of their, it's not a commissary, but whatever, like their little market. In order to get something out of the market, they only take tokens. And when you get a token is perform a chore, wash dishes, mow a yard, whatever, rake leaves.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so that works if you have faith that the token that you receive is a valid form of exchange.
That's the thing. It's called trust, Chad. It's called trust. Like, you trust somebody. That's why, that's why the dollar says, in God we trust. So that means, like, you know.
doesn't it also say this is a form of debt?
Maybe. Those are the fine print that I don't normally read, but it says, in God we trust. I trust God. So, I mean, the money's got to be good, right? I mean, it says, in God we trust. We trust this money in God.
God, I'll stand by all day. It's the Federal Reserve and the IMF that I got some problems with, but in terms of God, yeah, man, God can let out whatever currency.
Well, you know, anytime somebody starts telling you, like, you know, like, could you imagine Like I give you something and I say, hey, like, how's that apple pie? And I stamp it and say, in God we trust, man, that apple pie, you know, God trusts it. So you trust it. But like, but just because I put a stamp of God we trust on it, I mean, if I said like to you, like, eat my apple pie, you know, out of Julian, because in God we trust, would you trust me? I mean, like, you'd be like, just because you put like in God we trust on it doesn't mean that I trust you. I actually think it's a little blasphemous in a way, even though I'm not like really religious, to be honest, to say like, you know, in God we trust on the dollar bill. Like, I don't know why the government did that, to be honest. Do you?
Well, I mean, actually that, like, you know, I think, you know, my history about religion and spirituality and where I'm at now.
Yeah.
That I actually, even kind of based on our last episode, a couple episodes ago, on, you know, what the fuck is reality and the power that putting a label had on the water molecules. Right. So like now where I'm at in it, I'm all for it on that in terms of that, but I could see the blasphemous nature of it when it's built on a fiction and a fraud and misused to,
right,
as an excuse to kick people out of their homes, take their homes without putting up any type of real barter or means of exchange, but you're just putting ones and zeros into a computer base.
So I have my science fiction theory on In God We Trust on the dollar, by the way. I have my science fiction theory. So it wasn't always on the dollar, right? It happened in like 1956, you know, like Eisenhower. Okay. And I heard like Eisenhower met with aliens and he shit his pants. Okay. and after that, he probably like, oh, in God we trust, you know, we need, you know, a lot of things happened. I think like the Pledge of Allegiance and a whole bunch of stuff, I think was sent out in like 1956. I could be wrong, but I know that. Yeah. So, you know, so that, you know, I think that there was this really big push back then, you know, I don't know why, you know, maybe he was worried that, like, you know, the Russians were going to take over or something, you know, but, interesting, but continue on the dollar. Cause the dollar is actually very interesting. Money is very interesting. Bartering, you know, like if you give like somebody five apples, you know, for a watermelon, I mean, like, you know, you don't need to trust that. You just look at the apples and take a bite out of one. You're like, okay, I'll give you five apples for a watermelon. You know what I mean? But like when you use tokens and stuff like that, you know, and by the way, the Pledge of Allegiance was like 1942.
Was it? Like, okay, interesting.
Yeah, I was just checking on that. Probably because the war was going on. So they got to get everybody to pledge allegiance to the United States because maybe they were worried that like some people might like want to fight for the enemy.
You know,
Whatever. But so bartering, I think, is the beginning form of money, right? And then people said, you know, geez, I'm getting tired of carrying around like bushels of apples, you know? Like,
or crates of gold.
Well, gold actually... I don't know if that's true at all, Chad, because gold is very heavy and very valuable and you don't need to carry around crates of gold. You could buy like, you know, a whole city with like a crate of gold. So a gold coin, I mean, if you look at it, right, it's not much bigger than like an old 50 cent piece or roughly a 50 cent piece now, right?
Okay.
And that's worth like $2,000.
Is it now? Okay.
Yes. So you know, that's an ounce of gold, dude. So, and the value really of gold hasn't changed. It's another thing I'd like to bring in. So, you know, the reason why they use gold was because it was considered very valuable and very small and easy to carry around. So it became, and that's why gold and silver now became very valuable. And actually, they're still very valuable. The funny thing is like, you know, 50 cent gold pieces now are worth $2,000. So you can calculate like what the heck the valuation happened to those things. Gold, right. I think, retains value over the years, has retained value. Now you can argue you can't eat gold and stuff like that. It's not like having a bushel of apples, but gold is
an excellent conductor though.
Well, it's used in electronics. It has value. Mm-hmm. Silver has value. So these things have a lot of value, but go back to the token of money. Cause that's interesting to me.
Yeah, I'll get there. And then actually I'd like to kind of touch on the gold that you just brought up too on that too. Cause I think that's a very interesting next transition with it. So with the token economy, basically the moment you don't have faith in that token economy is over, done. That's it. No more. And so then there's nothing to motivate the person or inspire the person.
Well, when you say it's done, Chad, the way I look at it is done is someone runs on a bank because, you know, I'm looking at the science and the methods behind this because we have fractional reserve banking. I don't know if you know the history of all this, but basically
that's what I want to bring up actually. Yeah. Please keep going.
All right. Go ahead.
No. Like, keep going, man, because it's right on track.
No, like, what would happen is like, you know, years ago, the money would be based on actual gold and silver. I don't know if
exactly.
you know that.
Right? I do.
So the paper would say, like, you could read the old money. It says, you know, it'd say gold or silver. It could be redeemed in the equivalent value of gold or silver. So they give you the paper. And what they did was they'd say, okay, you know, we give you a dollar. We're going to keep $1 with the silver in the safe. And it's basically, we're just, you know, you don't want to carry around silver because it is a little bit heavy, but they kind of probably like holding on to your silver and printing the paper. And then right. You walk around and then you trust it but then they got you tricked. They got like, haha, we got them to hold on to the paper. And now we're not going to give them the gold back. We're going to change the laws. So like those old silver certificates and stuff, I don't think they're honorable anymore. I don't think they'll give you like an ounce of silver. You know, like, and like for a dollar, an ounce of silver is going to be like, you know, like a molecule in the future, right? It'll be like, hey, we're going to give you a dollar. Let's see if we get an engineer in here and try to get a microscope. Here it is. Don't blow away. Oh my God, there's your silver. It just blew away.
You'll right? find
that's what's going to happen to money, right? Money's going to be like paper money is going to turn into Zimbabwe, is what I think, the way people are printing money.
Yeah, I mean, it's every chance it's going that direction. Actually, speaking of gold, it's interesting. So 1933 is when the United States went off the gold and silver standard, or the gold standard. And then Roosevelt, several years later, actually had submitted something that got vetoed or repealed, one of the two. You have to do the research.
You know why they did all this? They banned gold. They would throw you in jail.
Exactly.
I mean, they actually banned it for a while. You know, exactly. And you know why? Because they're like, we want inflation. People say, like, what's inflation, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, well, inflation's really simple, right? Shit gets more expensive. Your $1 loaf of bread goes to $2, goes to $5, goes to $20.
But your wage stays the same.
The problem is they give you the $20. The government says, hey, you work for us for all these years. We're going to give you $1,000 a month on your pension. You're like, well, that's cool. My rent's $500 and it costs me $200 to live and I got $300 to put in the bank. Right. Mm-hmm. But then because of inflation, your apartment goes from $500 to $1,000. Your food goes and living expenses goes from $250 to $1,000. And it costs you $2,000 to live. And they're only giving you $1,000. So you go out and you get a credit card and you live off a credit card and you go bankrupt, you know.
Right.
And then you're in a debtor's prison. You got to go sell your house or whatever. So it's inflation is the sneakiest, most dirtiest evil tax that I can think of. It affects people that are on fixed amounts of dollars. Because if you're a worker and your boss is paying you $500 a week, and you're like, I can't live off $500 a week. And you're like, I want six. But if you're on a pension, man, you know, you're stuck with that. The government says, oh, there's no inflation. We only give you a 1% increase because, you know, they cook up some numbers on inflation. So basically, it's just theft. It's just
flat out theft.
And it's the theft of the people that should be most taken care of. It's the elderly, right. People who are on pensions who can't go back to job at Home Depot. Maybe some of them are. Actually, I think a lot of people are working at Home Depot now that are on retirement because they can't survive on their Social Security. So
it's
just kind of like when we were talking about, you know, like Vaccination Nation, right? You know, we want healthy vaccinations. You don't want kids getting sick for vaccines. I mean, kids are the most, important thing in anybody's life. And your elderly should also be up there on that list. And what do? We screw both of them, right? So the elderly now, I know so many relatives and friends, their grandparents are like running out of money, you know, because
after working their whole life, which is insane.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you're a bum and you're going to school your whole life, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But it's a whole other thing if you actually worked your ass off, provided for your family. And then like my parents, they paid for my college, for my undergrad,
Chad, I hate to ask you this question, and you know, you're probably not going to want to say this on this radio show, but like I always say, I'm pretty sure you're not going to have a lot of people listening to this anyhow, but you don't want to tell people like how much money you owe to student loans, right?
I put it in the book.
Okay. So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You know, I think I saw it in the book, but I didn't believe it to be true.
Well, okay. Remember, I published that in March. It's gone up now.
Oh, shit. So, like, is it less than $50,000?
Is it less than $50,000?
I know the answer. No, right? Let me just double that. $100,000? Is it less than $100,000?
Let's do it this way.
Oh, shit. There goes my taxes again.
If I could get a house say I could pick up a house in a Rockford by the river for $100,000, well, right?
Right.
I could pick up 5 houses.
Chad, you're fucking shitting me. Chad, you are fucking shitting me, right? I thought it was like $200,000 or $300,000. You're shitting me. Chad, please don't tell me this. Are you shitting me? You owe like over $400,000 in student loans?
Tony, I own 5 houses in Rockford off the river now. That's why I look at it.
Chad, no, you don't. You don't own shit. You haven't paid the money back.
Shit. This is true, actually.
Oh, my God. this is why my mother who's still alive, but she's like in her 80s and her taxes are going, it's because of people like you. $500,000. Well, oh my God. See, this is why free money. So this is where I want to go on this show. This is not fair.
Right.
Now people are going to call me a boomer or something like that because I'm over 50, but I'm going to tell you something. $500,000? Like in student loans?
So let's kind of break that down, though, in terms of what's fair and what's not fair. So
okay.
if we look at just, you know, and I've made an agreement to pay it back, you know.
I feel comfortable about that agreement. You're one of those Bernie guys that are going around saying, hey, Bernie, free me from college debt so I can get some more free money. Everybody's planning on getting this free money. This is where the free money show is. This is why I knew this was your show, Chad.
Let's look at free money, though. Let's look at free money for a second. In this day and age, now that the United States is off of the gold and silver standard, and they just have the thing called fiat currency right now, basically it's a ticket.
By the way, you know what? I want to tell you for the record on the show. Do you know how much student loan money I owe right now? Do you know?
At this moment?
Take a guess.
Zero.
Absolutely correct. Zero. If I split it with you, I'd owe $250,000 if I split your debt. Oh my God. I don't even want to split your debt. Chad, you're going to have to find a show that like makes money. Cause I'm telling you, this is not the show. We're going to have to do that TV series. I got to find a way to get you some money because I pay taxes in California. you're going to default on that loan. It's probably like a million of you guys running around. It's probably like $500 million or more in student loan. More.
You know, I will say, actually, I went to go pick up a car early in the year, you know, based on everything going on at the time. And I had a little down payment and all that stuff. And I was trying to get approved for it.
And he asked, like, how much money do you own? You said, $500,000.
So they ran the credit. They ran the credit and that came up. And I said, yeah, I got student loans, you know, whatever. They ran the credit. And the dude in the finance department.
The joint in his mouth probably like fell out onto the paperwork. He caught the paperwork on fire, right?
There was deep concern there. Like he looked at the paper. He looked at the paper. He looked back at me. He looked back at the paper. And then he just like let out a sigh. And he was like, I've never seen this. I didn't even know that was possible.
I don't think it's possible. I thought you owed like $300,000, but oh my God, you're up to 5 now, Chad. It's been years since I talked about your student loan because it just gives me indigestion because I just think I know you're not. I mean, I know there's a whole bunch of young folks like you not going to pay their student loans.
Well, you know, the more the merrier. I don't know on that, but
Chad, please, this is why we get back the money. Why can't people be responsible? Like, why do we got to? You know, I think the government, when the government's not responsible, right, when they just keep printing money, like look what happened with this whole COVID-19, which I like to call COVID-1984. That's my new name for COVID-19. But, you know, they're printing all this money for COVID-1984, and they're basically giving it to all these banks and all these people, you know, and I don't know, man. Do you think that's good for the government just to be printing money and spending it like a bunch of, I don't even like to call them drunk sailors, you know, because like I used to work consulting with the sailors and I don't think the sailors were ever that drunk, you know?
Yeah. I got a couple of friends in the Navy. It depends who you're talking to. But,
well, I don't want to hang out with you or your friends, if you know. And I like I told you, when I hung out with you, I have a hard time remembering the next day. But
to answer your question, I think let's kind of look at that too right there. So you asked, is it responsible or is it good for the United States government to be printing money out of thin air and then distributing it how they're distributing it? And so it's very interesting on that because right now we have what you had described as inflation. We have what's also known as interest for every time they're printing this money out. So then, you know, one thing to do is follow the trail of money. And that'll lead us back to, in the United States, it leads us back to the Federal Reserve. And we follow the Federal Reserve, that leads us back to 1913, the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, which is what had created a central bank in the United States.
Which now, is what Jefferson and nobody wanted, and because they didn't want the banks to control everybody. But, you know, we're all controlled by
that,
banks.
That worked out. That worked out well.
Well, we try. You know, people try.
Yeah. Aldridge and their banker friend in Jekyll Island had a five-year meeting where he went behind Congress's back to try to do this. But, but yeah, so beyond that, though, like, you know, regardless, they're off the gold and silver standard. Right now, today, the end of the day, they're printing money out of thin air. And it really, it's not even a question of printing money out of thin air as much as two questions. One, distribution, and two, the level of owance for interest. So there's always going to be debt, which is like I kind of get back to on your money. Anything in the U.S., any currency in the United States says this is an instrument of debt or a tender of debt or whatever it is, right, along those lines. So like you're never, ever, ever, ever going to get out of the hole when you are printing money out thin air and then you're charged interest on it because say you print.
Well, I mean, the United States is just going to go bankrupt. I mean, like,
well, there's no such thing. That's the thing. There's no such thing. So for example, I apologize to interrupt you, but I just kind of want to drive the point home here on this, Tony. Say you print $100 out of thin air, right? And there's a 4% interest rate on it. So now you owe $104, but you have to come up with $104 out of only $100 available line of credit.
Well,
somehow.
I kind of get where you're going on this, Chad, but like, I think there's a couple simple things going on, right? Mm-hmm. The United States money, they borrow money from the Fed prints the money, right? But it creates bonds to cover that money. Okay. So say for example, you got this Fed, right? And people say, oh, you know, the government needs to borrow, let's use it simple, $1 million, right? So then the Fed says, okay, we're gonna print the new $1 million and put it into the public. But to cover that money, it's my understanding that they then sell bonds equivalent to, you know, the $1 million. And so people buy the bonds so that there's some kind of like, you know, so it is a debt. They have to pay back the bondholders, right? It's American bonds that like the Japanese and the Chinese all buy to cover that debt because they actually trust the American dollar. But what could end up happening is that in order to wash away that debt, the government could just say, screw you. We're not going to pay you for those bonds, right? And that's how you could wipe the debt out. But then you've lost completely. Then China and Japan are going to say, hey, we got screwed. And then they're going to say, well, we're not going to honor your bonds that you bought in us, or we're not going to pay you for, you know, for the military, you know. So then it becomes like, you know, anarchy. Everybody's going to be a free for all. And then so the bondholders are the ones. And then what about the colleges, right, who buy savings bonds, or the poor guy, you know, trying to save money for his kid's college and he buys U.S. savings bonds? They become worthless overnight. Okay.
Yeah, they're worthless overnight, but it depends. Again, that goes back to the whole faith point on it, because this bond is nothing more than a piece of paper and a promissory note.
What I'm trying to say, Chad, is if the whole thing goes under, right, it's not like everybody's going to be happy. If you have nothing, you don't give a shit. You just have less. You still have nothing. Like if you just have your bicycle, you know, and your car, right? You know, and you don't own a house, but you have debt like you do, like $500,000, and all this, the whole system goes belly up. You're like, hey, cool. I just lost my $500,000 just vaporized, but I still got my bike and my car. Right. But then like the loan, like for your $500,000, you know, like I might've invested in like, you know, I better check. Hope I didn't invest in anything related to, like student loans, but like I might have invested in student loans, right? Then all my investments go to shit, right? So then I think I got like 25 grand in the bank, you know, and then my $25,000 turns into zero. and then I can't pay for my kids' college because I have no money. I mean, there's ramifications to the destruction of the system, Chad.
Well, I'm not proposing the destruction of the system. I think it's kind of destroying itself personally. But it like,
I agree with you,
a parasite can only live so long once it destroys its host. But to go back to the printing money out of thin air and gaining a tangible asset, though, is interesting. Let's look outside of the stocks and bonds and everything for a moment and look at, there was that case out in, I believe you might be familiar with this, Minnesota or Wyoming, one of the two, where the, man, I wish I could remember the name of this. I'll look it up and I'll put it out there. If you remember, please interject with it. The person went and got a bank loan to purchase a house. Eventually defaulted on the bank loan. The bank went to repossess them, and then the person went and sued them and asked to see where the consideration in the contract was, meaning like this person put up their labor, their wages, things of that nature, and a tangible asset, a house, something that was built with raw materials, etc. Now the bank, their consideration in the contract was they lent the money. But okay, where did that money come from?
Right.
Especially if we're off of the gold and silver standard at this point. And what they found was, and this is, I believe, based along what you spoke of with the fiat currency, they basically just created their own money by, they lent the money to themselves, then they lent it to this person at an interest rate. And so the judge in the case, and was it Mahoney or something like that, actually? Had ruled that no, there was no consideration in the contract. This person can keep their house. The bank has done nothing in furtherance of any mutuality in the contract.
Right.
A couple days later, the judge was actually killed. But beyond that,
oh God, was he really?
Yeah, actually, he was. Interesting too, along those lines, JFK, he was promoting what was referred to as the greenbacks. A few days or a few weeks before he was killed by the magic bullet. And what that was basically moving away again from the Federal Reserve System, and the United States government was going to take control of its own financial currency. And they were going to be the ones issuing these stocks, these bonds, and this currency, and determining the amount that would be distributed and to where. Now, then he was killed, like I said, a few days, few weeks after that, very shortly after that speech on secret societies as well. But what is very interesting along those lines is they're basically, again, going back to the printing money. Now, one thing real quick on that, the Fed Reserve, it's not federal and it's not a reserve. It's not a federal entity. It's a private
entity. I mean, like when people look at this, like I, at the beginning, people were telling this, and I'm like, oh God, another tinfoil hat person. You know, this is like, this is 20 years ago. Like someone told me this. And the more I did on the Federal Reserve, I was like, wow, built in 1913, these crooked bastards got together to put it. They call it federal. You know what I used to say? Federal Reserve is as federal as Federal Express. They don't even use Federal Express. They call it FedEx. But there is federal as Federal Express. Federal Express is just, a private, shipping company. They call them FedEx now. But, the Federal Reserve is not federal. It's private. And so, basically, I mean, it's part of the privatization of America, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's like the United States is really, I actually feel it's more like a company, like not a country.
For sure. Absolutely.
Like it's the corporation of the United States, right? Because the politicians are nothing more than the puppet representatives that, Exxonos, this person, Moderna, and the pharmaceuticals and Johnson own these politicians. And actually, they split the politicians up. Like if you just look at that person and said, where did they get the campaign money from? Who they vote for. I was going to say this on the other show when we're talking about geoengineering, but like I've given up, certain things you just can't win. I bumped my head when I was living in California and I thought I'd run for assembly, and I did it twice. And I did it in a town that's 65% Republican. And I'm an independent. So I'm like, okay, I'll run as a Republican. I'm not going to win as a Democrat. They don't win. They can't win in that. And And I don't believe in a Democratic or a Republican party, really. I believe, you should just believe in your beliefs, right? Some of my beliefs like fit the Democrats and some fit the Republicans. And, you know, I went to run and I learned really quickly, you know, and not to like brag, right? Like I had scholarships, like the private school, you know, I went to like Brown University's prep school on a full scholarship. You know, I went to engineering school at Rutgers on a full scholarship and I did a little stint at Harvard. I'm not like a genius. Sometimes I think I am, but I know I'm not. I'm a fairly smart guy, right? I hate to even say that because like it sounds like arrogant, but I know I'm a reasonably smart guy.
You are. There's no question.
Right?
You're very.
I'm not as smart as Trump, but but I'm a reasonably smart guy, right? Like in politics, like I'm running for assembly. And like the guy that's in charge of the party goes, you know, you got to be a team player. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't believe in this. And they're like, hey, we got a party platform. We got this. So you're not allowed to even have, your own thoughts. It's kind of like, so that's why, they got probably Biden up there, because and he's the most malleable candidate. And I'm not saying that he's going to be better or worse than Trump. I mean, I don't trust any politician anymore, to be honest. But it's kind of like, okay, so like I would say these things and like, so I got to imagine, like I couldn't win. I ran against a guy who his big platform, he was going after, homeless people stealing copper. Right? Like that's the kind of person I'm running against, right? And he's bragging, he was in Vietnam and he's remembering the Viet Cong and that's how he caught these copper thieves. I mean, that's like his platform, right? I mean, like.
I've never seen that news interview with him.
Well, I give him a little bit more credit than that. I'm teasing the guy, but I mean, he's not a complete dummy. But like, let's put it this way: like, if me and him sat down and like took a test, like on science and and education, I think I would probably do a little bit better than him. But like, he's the kind of guy that they like. Hey, Randy, this is what we want you to do, and he'd be like, oh, okay, sure. He doesn't even question anything, right? Because
it's a bunch of yes men, basically, and women, right. Yes men and yes women in there.
And he's not even that high up. He's an assemblyman in California, and he's a Republican in a completely Democratic state. So he probably can't do nothing. So good for him. But, so then you can only imagine what it's like at the higher levels. Like I learned really quick, wow, these guys are bought and paid for. So when it comes to what happened with the Fed in 1913, some rich folks probably just got together and said, we want to be richer in this. We need to privatize the banking system. We got to control the money because it's like when you ask these bank robbers, like Capone and these guys, hey, why do you rob the banks? Well, that's where the money is.
Well, interesting on this too, a couple of things on that. One, they're using something that's created out of thin air to purchase real tangible assets. Land, water, homes, people's labor, things of that nature, which I actually don't believe you can purchase truly land and water and things of that. But regardless, that's the current state of the system.
Well, you can. Now it's going to be like that movie with Schwarzenegger on Mars, right? Where you got to buy cans.
Was that Total Recall or something?
Yeah. You have to buy cans of air. They're like, hey, man, I need a can of air. I'm running out of air. They're going to own the air. They throw people in jail now for collecting rainwater in states.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you know that?
Yeah, I did know that, actually.
You buy a
California
house.
California might have actually done that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, probably. You buy a house, and you're like, hey, man, I could use a little extra drinking water, kind of hot and thirsty, and you put, an umbrella up to catch some rainwater, and they're going to put cuffs on you and throw you in jail because you collected rainwater.
Right. They're hoarding the water and the gold and everything else themselves and, kind of creating these droughts to a large extent.
But I want to go back to free money money, Chad.
Yeah, so, we got 5 minutes left.
No, we don't. We got as long as we want.
Well, you say that every time.
All right. So, listen, free money. Is it good or bad? And is there free money? I mean, I don't think there's free money. I'm going to say my little spiel and then you can finish the show. But I want
to touch on a couple of things before I finish the show.
Keep going. Okay. Well, here's the thing that I want to say. I try to pick a couple of things that I think is going to happen in the future and try to give people a little insight, but I think people already know what's going to happen. So there's going to be massive inflation. There was a 30% increase in the money that was printed in the last year all over the world. So I think there's going to be, at some point, at least a 30% or more inflationary hit on most stuff. So like, you know, if your bread's a dollar, it's going to go to $1.30, you know, if it's $2, it's going to go, you know, $2.60 or whatever.
So wages will go up too then, right? 30%.
Well, that's going to be slower. That's the problem. They're going to, the trick is they raise the prices of the stuff that you have to buy and they slowly raise your wages, and that's how they steal from you. So that's right. The trick. So what I want to say to folks listening, you know, to the maybe now we got like maybe 20 folks listening, but to the 20 folks
very
listening,
generous.
Yes, I would say that buy hard assets, get out of dollars, buy like gold and silver. I think gold and silver are still going to be safe bets. The government's going to try to sneakily depress those prices. Don't buy stocks. Actually, get gold and silver. Keep a little bit of gold and silver, you know, in locked up in your basement. And I would argue buy hard assets. Like if you need a car and you're waiting, get the car. Get the car. And if you can get a low interest rate loan on a house, you know, if you can get anything under like, I think anything under 5 or 10%. Now, the problem is a lot of the houses are already inflated in value, so I'd be careful. But I would buy hard assets and keep your debt low because, you know, and if you got debt, you got to get rid of it. Go bankrupt if you have to. I mean, like, I think a war is going to go on in the United States when it comes to finances. I know this bubble is huge. I expect it to pop. People think, you know, but, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe they'll just print more money so that, like, the market will just keep going up just because of inflation. So that's my spiel. Buy hard assets, buy gold and silver, you know, get out of your dollar, buy something that could be valuable or could generate you money, like buy an apartment that you could rent, because if there's inflation, you can change the price of the rent. Do not trust this system, because I think Social Security is next. I think they're gonna start wiping out Social Security.
Yeah,
they're gonna start, you know, healthcare, all this stuff. There's no way with all these lawyers and all this vested interest that people are just going to go more broke. I mean, I just don't see it getting fixed. And so this inflation is going to hurt people. Protect yourself. I'm done. I mean, I don't like free money. I don't like them printing money. I think people should live responsibly. Now, you go ahead, Chad. It's all, the floor is all yours, my friend, for the last 6 months.
I appreciate that, man. I think I got like 2 or 3. But
Pick six.
I appreciate it. So along your lines, I would, in addition, recommend investing in yourself. You know, learn what you need to learn, study what you need to study, gain valuable skills, teach yourself valuable skills, whether that be fishing or a class that works on Photoshop, for example, you know, where you have a tangible skill now that you could take into whatever. And, you know, something that would hopefully feed into something you love, something, a passion of yours, to where it doesn't feel like you're working, but you're still able to offer your skills in exchange for whatever means of exchange is out there at that point. 2 points I did want to bring up, and I just want to bring it up very, very briefly, given our time right here. One, I believe the rise of cryptocurrency is an excellent example of how money can be basically created out of thin air, and it can also be deemed something of value based upon engagement with it. Like one Bitcoin is equal to, I want to say, 11,000 US dollars at this point right now. And they have it capped at 214.9 billion dollars is what the Bitcoin is currently capped at. So there's a, you know, there's not the continuous printing of it. But watch cryptocurrency to see like how everything transitions. And, you know, the US dollar exists, the yen exists, the, you know, whatever other, the ruin out in Brazil, whatever else is out there, the peso.
Crypto is the future, Chad, I think.
Did you
mention that? You know, I was telling people to buy it when it was like $500 a Bitcoin and nobody believed me. And I'm not kidding. I have friends that you know that I told to buy it then. And I've studied, and I was actually created in Japan, believe it or not. There was a guy
who went,
yeah, oh yeah. And I'm out of Japan. That wasn't me. I wish it was.
right. Yeah. I wish it was too.
If it was, I wouldn't be on your show. But the thing is I think crypto is the future because it's a fiat currency in a sense, but it takes like, you know, processing time to, you know, to sort through to get these, you know, to create the Bitcoins, to mine the Bitcoins. So there's some work being done. to actually do that. And it, and I tell you, it's I think there's more work being done to that than it takes to than the work to print a dollar bill.
You only have to print the dollar. You just type zeros and ones in. You're not printing
crypto
anything anymore.
Crypto is the future, in my opinion. But but a lot of countries are going to try to ban it because it is the future. So you got to be careful, figure out like where you can use it, where you can't. Everybody's trying to create a crypto now. Don't trust other people's cryptos. I would trust like Bitcoin and the original ones mostly. But go ahead, Chad. So
there's a couple of other ones that may be of value on that. And I think people do the research. They might get in early, and you never know what could happen.
So how do we protect ourselves from this money fiasco that's about to what's unfolding as we're watching right now? And people might listen to this. You know, we might get like 50 viewer listeners in like a couple of years. And when 50 people listen to this, what's value to them? I mean, like, I think right now the value is that I don't think it's going to change over the next couple of years. I just think this fiat printing is going to continue. That you should buy hard assets. Just be smart with your money. Don't get involved in a lot of debt. How do you protect yourselves in this situation in the United States when it comes to money?
You know, really, two things. One, lots of karate classes. I'm kidding. Like, actually, I think one would be really Jeet Kune Do would be better. But no, I think you'd want to go to look at Iceland and what Iceland has done. So Iceland, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not. Iceland was facing a financial crisis. I want to say 2006, 2009, something around that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And what had happened, they were in a similar situation. Money had been created out of thin air. All these people were losing their homes, the great inflation. People were quitting their jobs and joining banks for a while, all this kind of stuff going on. And what had actually happened, though, a lot of this was the result of corruption and predatory lending and all these other malpractices. Iceland saw this approaching and they let the economy crash at that moment on purpose. Now, the reason they did that was two reasons. One, they arrested these bankers and then they kicked the other bankers out, including the IMF, who tried to come in and say, oh, we'll rescue, we'll bail you out, which is actually what the IMF does across South America and all over the world. It, you know, you can read the Economic Hitman and whatever else, and they discuss this further, and that's their way of overthrowing.
Well, yeah, they basically, like, you know, they let their three major banks just go ba-bang, you know, because it was reckless. Rather than trying to, like, bail them out, they jailed them and all this stuff. I read a lot about that. You know, and they put these guys on trial. You know, they just, rather than saying banks are too big to fail, they said, no, they're not. We're gonna let them fail. So
exactly.
like over 90% of the banking, I was just looking at this online to double check what you said, but like 97% of the banking sector collapsed in a matter of 3 days. And I hope this will not. Yeah, go ahead.
It was fascinating. So something similar happened in Greece. Now Greece had like a 30% unemployment rate or whatever else. Mm-hmm. Iceland is like, I want to say what, like 3 or 4%. And that's probably more due to choice, to be honest with you, based around my experiences of traveling around Sweden and that area. Just because of the government programs are so good and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times that was a result of chemical.
But that's not going to happen here, Chad. Like you're talking about like, you know, that's not going to help the average person. Like what I'm wondering, because the truth of the matter is these banks own our politicians. Like I just said, like, you know, they can take somebody, you know, who's like dumb as a doorknob. They don't even care if they just check in for the 98.6 degree temperature. And can you speak, you know, they probably want to take one of Elon Musk, you know, chips, put them in the head, you know, so that they can like kind of remotely control their support base, you know, like, hey, you know, Feinstein do this. Hey, you know, Trump do this, you know. you know, put a chip in everybody's head, you know, and they got the Democrats and Republicans under control, you know, more so than they got them. I mean, they're not going to like, it's not going to happen. I don't think in the US, like Iceland's a small country, you know, they didn't want to have to pay all this money and tax everybody. So basically rather than taxing the people, they tax the actual people who made the problem, you know, which is good. I mean, but the United States is letting everything too big to fail. You know, banks are too big to fail. Now it's going to be like the stock market's too big to fail. You know, everybody wants to be too big to fail.
It depends on what our definition of failure is, too. You know, when we look at it, you know, as a domestic country, United States ranks pretty low in terms of education, available healthcare, homelessness, things of that nature. And, you know, then you talk about allocation of funds to the military industrial complex, privatization of prison systems versus rehabilitation, you know, and all that kind of stuff, or infrastructure, for example. Now, failure, you know, what is failure? Now these things go under, right? And I'm not proposing this, but I'm just saying, like, I think we have such a fear of it. But let's say, like, the banks class for a second here. Like, I'm not saying this is the way to go by any means whatsoever at all. But I'm just saying, let's say the base collapsed, whatever, for example, you still have your house. The house didn't go anywhere. Like, right. You still have your body. Right, like, right, you right, can still right. walk down to the ocean and fish. Like, yeah. you still have everything in you. Like, it's just some of these little weasels that were, or parasites, are no longer gnawing at your shoulder anymore. That's all that happened. Like, then just go back to create a different financial system, create a different token economy that you have faith in. That's all it would be, is that kind of a shift in consciousness. It's not a shift in resource as much as it is a shift in allocation, or you know, basically faith. It's a shift in faith, basically, right. More so than anything else. I know we're a few minutes over
now. We're all over, but Chad, at the end, What am I supposed to do during this upcoming? I mean, we both agree that there's going to be like this big upcoming, you know, inflation, and maybe the stock market will crash again. I'm going to say a couple things again at the end here, but what if you had to pick a couple things, like two or three things to do? What would you tell people to do to protect their assets?
To protect their assets, like meaning like houses and cars and things.
Yeah,
of that nature,
or
livelihood.
With your money, like what do you do with your money? Say you got $100,000. You know, in the bank, right? And you want to plan for retirement, you want to plan for your kids, you want to just protect your money. What do you do with that $100,000?
For me personally, I can only speak for me. I can't tell anybody else what to do. But for me personally, I'm investing in myself, like I had mentioned, in terms of teaching myself skills that are applicable to the current state of affairs and marketplace. Mm-hmm. I'm purchasing things that I could use as a business that would be in alignment with where the current
I think business
is
a good idea. I think a business, you can control your destiny. I think that's actually a good idea. If you can start a small little side business, even if you're baking cakes on the weekend, it's like a hard asset. It's something that people might want to buy. And if the price of cakes goes from $10 to $50 because of inflation, guess what? You don't lose on inflation. You can charge $50 for your cakes.
Exactly. Right. So I think those things, I'm going to continue creating projects that I feel passionate about. Like, you know, a hard asset, like a book, for example,
or
other creative content that I feel may be of value to somebody. You know, I think the biggest thing is find your passion, find what you love, and make sure it benefits others. Ask yourself, how does it benefit others? And if it benefits others, you're going to be rewarded. Your heart's in the right place. You're going to be rewarded. Just keep doing the right thing along those lines.
I used to work at a bank, so maybe I'm a little bit harder on this. I think I would, you know, I think that's great, you know, what you just said, and I agree with like the business and stuff. But if I had to tell people, I'd say, you know, maybe invest in like I said, a hard asset like real estate, find a good deal and get a rental, because then you could always increase the prices of rentals. I would get out of like a lot of stuff and focus more on commodities. You know what I'm saying? I like the idea of having a little bit of gold and silver, you know, stashed in your basement. Mine's not in my basement, so don't look there. But, you know, I think that like, if you're going to stay, you know, with money, I would diversify. I get out of money, man. I'd buy like cryptocurrency, buy gold, a little bit of gold. I mean, you have to keep a little bit of money. And if you got debt, anything that can like variably like change because of inflation, like they're going to change your interest rates. Do not get like, you know, variable rate, like loans on your house. Get fixed rates, because inflation is not going to be fixed. Inflation is going to go up. And I don't trust the, you know, the non, you know, fixed stuff. So I would advise listeners, you know, to go with like, you know, fixed rate debt instruments rather than like variable rate debt instruments. And if you're going to stay in stocks, I mean, everything's going up now, but you really got to be smart on things that aren't overvaluated and things that actually have a growth. Like when everything else starts going down, you got to say, are people still going to buy, you know, like luxury items like boats? Like if you're investing in a yacht company, that might not be the best investment, you know, like when things turn south. You know, maybe if you invested in, you know, like, you know, cheap winter clothes or cheap, you know, or shouldn't say cheap, but like less potato expensive. Sex. Yeah, yeah, or food, you know. So that's where I'm at. That's the only advice I can give. I know we're way over time, Chad. Any last moments of discussion here before we end this episode?
I'd say if anybody's going to invest in anything, make sure you understand it and you're not just doing what somebody else recommended. I personally make
wait
sure
a
you
second. Now listen to my recommendations. What are you talking about?
You said
all that stuff. You say don't listen to anybody. No, I'm just kidding.
You said buy potatoes, right? Like that. I think that's what I gathered from the whole thing.
I agree. I'm not saying this is how you're going to make money. I think everybody, you're absolutely right. If you don't understand what you're investing in and you don't believe it in yourself, don't do it. Just investigate, you know. But those are my suggestions.
I appreciate your suggestions, man. I think it's going to be beneficial for our listeners. And, you know, like always, remind everybody, you know, do the research yourself, find your own truth and live your best life. And life is going to go pretty good from there.
All right. Great episode, Chad. Look forward to our next one.